This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Yeah, that's right. I'm the Kawhi guy. I'm the guy over the last, it's not been years, it's been a year. Last postseason, I entered the postseason saying Giannis is taking over from LeBron. LeBron was hurt. His team missed the playoffs. Giannis was the best player in the regular season. I thought they would have a good playoffs. And he started out okay, Giannis, but then he ran into Kawhi and the Raptors, and it didn't end up okay for Giannis. But Kawhi kept going and dominated the whole postseason and won finals MVP, not for the first time, but with his second team. And I heard two things around that time. One, well, he didn't beat KD. I mean, the Warriors with KD. KD was hurt, and then ultimately Klay was hurt. And that's such a stupid argument. Of course, if KD was healthy, the Warriors would have won. That didn't prove that KD was better than Kawhi. It proved that the Warriors with KD, a 73-win team that added an MVP-caliber player, couldn't be beat. Of course, that's why LeBron lost it. Once KD joined the Warriors, LeBron had no chance, even with Kyrie and Kevin Love. No one was going to beat that Warriors team. Okay. That's not a good argument, but there was another argument, and it went like this. Max, I was leading the bandwagon, pulling the bandwagon on Kawhi. Max, LeBron James was hurt, and because he was hurt, the Lakers missed the playoffs, and because of that, and I even acknowledged, LeBron would take the regular season off, still be among the best players, but Steph, you could have that MVP. KD, you could have that MVP. Giannis, you could have that MVP. Playoff start, we see who the real best player in basketball is. Because NBA, there are 30 teams. 16 reached the playoffs. 16 out of 30. Over 50% of teams make the postseason, and the postseason's up to 2 months long. So the regular season is largely irrelevant. Well, what about building chemistry and look how they load managed with Kawhi and they didn't get that affected? Right. It's only relevant insofar as it affects the playoffs. Well, you could say that in any sport. No, especially the NBA. Because any MVP caliber player makes the playoffs. No such thing ever as that team has an MVP caliber player and they missed the playoffs, you know, if he was healthy. So the argument went, LeBron lets you have the regular season and then reminds you in the playoffs. No, no, I'm still the best in the world. I am. However, at LeBron's age, given the miles on his legs, given the fact that he needed those playoffs to remind people he was still the best, because Steph was better than him in the regular season in 2016, and KD was better than him in the regular season, and Giannis was better than him in the regular season, right? And LeBron was still around his prime. But he realized, it's not like MJ who went three, took 2 years off, went three more, and that was basically it. LeBron's competing year in and year out, and realizes at a certain point, I can't have my pedal to the metal both ends of the floor all season long. I won't have it for the playoffs. That, you know, his kind of self-load management has contributed to his longevity. So the argument went, LeBron didn't have the playoffs to prove he's still the best, but he's better than Kawhi. Or at least he still has the crown until Kawhi faces him. My argument was, yep, that would be one thing, you know, if it was just a regular playoff series. If Kawhi was the best out of the rest, but, you know, just kind of a normal great player having a great series or two. But Kawhi, last playoffs, last postseason, had one of the best postseasons wire to wire in the history of basketball. And in that case, given LeBron's age, given his regular season, which was great, but not the best in the world, and given the fact that he didn't have the playoffs to remind us, that's LeBron's tough luck. Kawhi took the crown in LeBron's absence. The one thing I said was, at best, you can say the title's vacant or split, and LeBron and Kawhi will meet in these playoffs in the Western Conference Finals to decide what's what. Hey, LeBron, I know Kawhi's going to be there. Just make sure you get there. I also thought that the Lakers had to go all in on AD. It left them with nothing else. Then they cleared cap space to sign Kawhi and create like an unfair super team. But Kawhi's like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to compete against you. Okay. So everyone's like, well, the Lakers window is right now. I thought, no, the Lakers are going to be better next year than this year. Because to get all the complementary pieces right, especially when Kawhi spurned them and they were left, okay, who's available? Oh, Danny Green's available. Let's get Dwight Howard. Let's get JaVale McGee. That's not the same thing as picking in the beginning of free agency, knowing that Kawhi wouldn't be there. We know we're not getting Kawhi. Let's take all these guys and make, you know, they didn't really have that many options by the time Kawhi told them no. So I figured the Lakers would be great this year, but they won't win the title. Next year is when I thought the Lakers would win the title. Next year. And I thought the Clippers would do it this year because they had a 48-win team with Danilo Gallinari and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You plucked those two off and replaced them with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George? Are you kidding? So, I never expected Kawhi to get knocked out in the second round. And I certainly didn't expect him to go out like that in a Game 7. I remember Steph Curry in 2016 won the MVP. And I thought, I came out on Sports Nation and I said, look, LeBron's getting older. He's no longer the best player in the world in the regular season. And even though in no other era is a guy who looks like Steph, like short point guard, the best player in the world, even when Steve Nash or Allen Iverson won MVP, they weren't the best player in the world, right? The best player in the world was either Shaq or Kobe or LeBron. It was a wing player or a big, not like a 6'3" point guard. Never. Isaiah Thomas, a lot of great players, but it's never a short point guard who's actually the best player in the world, even if they win MVP. But I thought the rules had changed enough, and Steph was enough of a revolutionary player shooting from the distances he shot that, you know what, doesn't matter. In any other era, LeBron would be better. In this era, Steph is. And then the playoffs rolled around, and LeBron took a team that really should not have been winning that championship and beat Steph in Game 7 on the road. And did it not only with the offense but the defense. You remember the block of Iguodala? Remember the free throws, you know, that he iced the free throw at the end of the game when Dre fouled him and he went down hard on his hand. And I said after that series, oops, sorry, LeBron. This separates, you know, the men from the boys. Like this, and LeBron is a man among men, right? He was different. Sorry, LeBron, you've been the best all along. My bad. I didn't make that mistake with KD. Even when KD was winning finals MVP, LeBron was certainly in the first matchup, clearly the MVP of that series, even though his team lost. They were overmatched. And even in the next year, when KD had an argument for MVP, I would have taken LeBron. I thought he was the best player in the series. But that's different than the finals that Kawhi just had. And with LeBron unable to show that he was still the best, I said the crown was with Kawhi. But I now must correct myself and the record. And for the second time, say, Stephen A. was on me today. You have to apologize to the American people. No. The only one I owe an apology to is LeBron James. Sorry, LeBron. You've been the best all along. Because it is very hard to imagine LeBron James going through a fourth quarter like that. By the way, that year, Steph, in a Game 7 against the Cavs, Steph went the last 4 minutes, and I want to say 35 seconds of that game. I was at Oracle that day. I didn't want to sit with the press and not have to root. I wanted to enjoy it as a fan. I bought great seats mid-court and witnessed the whole thing, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 rows back, center court, facing the Cavs bench, and watched the whole thing go down. The last almost 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, the greatest half-court offense in the history of basketball, the 73-win Golden State Warriors, didn't score a point. And at that point, I pointed out, Steph Curry cannot be considered in that class of LeBron, right? Of the elite of the elite, because you have to show up in the fourth quarter of a seventh game at home. Even if your team doesn't win, surely as the conductor of the orchestra, you can't go scoreless. The most prolific offense ever in the half court can't go scoreless over the last almost 5 minutes of a Game 7 at home. And it was partly LeBron's defense that was doing it. Similar to Steph. Maybe Kawhi, who I said was a cyborg, ice water in his veins, was feeling the pressure because they went like more than half of the fourth quarter without a field goal. And I don't want to hear about Doc Rivers as the coach because, as I say, the NFL is a coach's league. Major League Baseball is a GM's league. The NBA is a player's league. Best players win. I don't want to hear about Doc Rivers. I don't want to hear about Paul George not showing up. He never does in these situations. I hate to say it. He's a nice guy, but he doesn't. Lou Williams, who I thought would be bigger than that. Patrick Beverley. Montrezl Harrell, who was just mismatched against Jokic. Jokic is too much for him. Kawhi Leonard, even if your team goes out, you can't go out like that. Stephen A. brought it up. Like, get to the free throw line. Get to the foul line at least. More than half the fourth quarter without a field goal. And by the way, three consecutive elimination games where you could eliminate the other team three consecutive times. Around halftime, you have double-digit leads, 17, 16, 17, and 10 points. And you lose all three games and one of them by like 20, the deciding game. That's bad for Kawhi. That is bad for Kawhi. And it's on him. You can go out, but not like that. So do I owe America an apology for calling Kawhi the best over the last year? Hell no. But I do owe, for the second time, LeBron James an apology. In 16, I said it was Steph. In 2019-20, I said, okay, it's Kawhi. And for a total of maybe a year and a half to 2 years of LeBron's career, I was calling someone other than him the best player in basketball. And let the record show it wasn't true. Sorry, LeBron. I would say it won't happen again, but at your age, it'll happen again. I'll do it again, and you may have to prove me wrong again. Kendrick Perkins joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Perk! Oh, by the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. More Straight Talk from Kendrick Perkins on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. What's up, Perk?
What's up, Max? You still talking about this? You already apologized earlier today.
You know, this is going to be going on for a while. I got no problem with new evidence informing what I say. None. Not at all. And Kawhi choked last night. It is what it is. Like, I'm not making it up. He was amazing under pressure last year. For most of his career, he's been ice water in his veins under pressure. And he folded last night. Yeah, what am I going to say? It didn't happen? It happened.
Well, I mean, Max, he had one bad game out of the whole playoffs. He's been carrying the Clippers. Okay, I wouldn't say that he choked. He just was a product of his environment. He got tired of carrying the weight, and he saw that other guys had seemingly checked out. Lou Will was none of MIA. Montrezl Harrell been MIA. Paul George was
can't say MIA anymore. MIA means you play with heart nowadays. Miami's playing.
Okay, well, correct me then. But, you know, Paul George was inconsistent. We didn't know what – you could tell. Look, go back to the Dallas series, right? You could tell in Kawhi post-game interviews that he was beyond frustrated with this Clipper ball club. It was a play during the course of the game where Kawhi had got a monster steal, kicked it ahead to Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson go down and do some crazy baloney stuff and turns the ball over. And you could read Kawhi's lips and said, I didn't do all this for that stuff to happen.
Yeah, I saw that. I remember that. Yeah.
You could see the frustration in Kawhi's face, even in his interview.
I hear you, but I don't care. I'm not trying to hear that. Like, look, I told the story on the air today on First Take. I used to talk to Kobe a bunch when I was in L.A., right? And he was still, you know, it was the end of the three straight finals appearances when I got there. I brought the jinx with me. I'm a hex for basketball. But anyway, I used to talk to Kobe. I was like, the one thing that I don't forgive you for is Game 7 against Phoenix. Because you were up 3-1 on that team. I bet Jim Lampley, the great boxing broadcaster I worked with on HBO, he said the Suns are going to win the series. I said, Jim, if you're up 3-1 on a team, that means you're good enough to beat them. You think a Kobe Bryant-led team, I don't care who else is on the team, is going to go out like that? No. And I lost the dinner bet. And I was like, and Kobe, you were trying to prove a point. Oh, you don't want me scoring 50 here? I'll bounce pass. I'll do that. I won't score a lot. Why are you proving a point? Go beat them. And he said to me, Max, that squad wasn't going to beat anybody. They didn't have it. And then he got Powell a couple years later, and he showed he was right. But my point is this. Even if Kawhi has certain complaints about the squad he had, Kobe really didn't have a lot of talent on that squad. You got Paul George, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley. You got a lot of guys who can play. I'm not trying to hear that from the best player and the leader on the team. You got to go out and lead by example.
So if you think, see, that's the problem. Everyone had, the Clippers had y'all fooled. That's the whole problem. They had y'all fooled that they had elite talent. Look, Max, just because it's cloudy outside don't mean it's going to rain, all right? Patrick Beverley is who he is. He's never been past the second round. Lou Will, he's a great regular season player, has a history of disappearing in the postseason. Montrezl Harrell, never been past the first round. So my whole thing was Paul George has a history of disappearing in the postseason.
No doubt.
So,
but Kawhi doesn't. Kawhi disappeared. Here's what is on Kawhi, okay? I don't care what anyone else does. Be the best player on the floor. Jokic was the best player on the floor. Jamal Murray was the second best player on the floor. He wasn't one of the best two players on the floor. The other team had them both. That he can control. Kawhi can control at least being the best player on the floor. Could you imagine Michael Jordan, who you and others have compared Kawhi to? I haven't made the Jordan comparison exactly, but I thought Kawhi was the best player in the game precisely because normally LeBron, KD, the Freak, those guys are a little better than him when it doesn't matter most. But when it matters most, I saw Kawhi elevate both ends of the floor. So these moments are actually more important for his legacy than for those guys because he's more dependent on the playoffs. And he let Jokic dominate the game and then Jamal Murray get 40? Perk, he can't do it. Like, I know I had him number one. You had him number two. Where do you have Kawhi now?
I still have him number two. I'm not about to go off of one game or two games. In game five, Max, in game five, he had 36 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists.
What about game
7? He did his part. What else was he supposed to do?
Perk, I'll say this. This happened to Kobe one game 7, but his team won. He, you know, Powell and Mehta bailed him out in a game 7 against the Celtics, right? This is what it is. He shot poorly, but they didn't go out soft, right? And they actually wound up winning. This happened to LeBron James, 4 straight fourth quarters against the Dallas Mavericks. LeBron disappeared, played hot potato with the ball, didn't want it. And people were all over LeBron at the time, and he deserved it. Now, since then, LeBron has erased any doubt year after year after year. But at that moment, all the criticism was fair. And you could say, well, he and Wade are trying to figure out who's the alpha and this and that, whatever. He went away in 4 straight fourth quarters. Like, that's something MJ would, under any circumstances, it would never happen. You know, Kawhi went away in game 7 and in the fourth quarter. Perk, I'm shocked. I'm totally shocked by that. But it happened. I can't make an excuse about his teammates or his coach. It happened.
It did happen. But I still got Kawhi ranked number 2 with KD being injured, Max. That's just my personal opinion. It just hit you harder because you actually said that he was the number one player.
I did.
The best player in the world. He's still number two in my eyes.
And I believed it. Now, here's the one saving grace for Kawhi and the Clips. Ready? Here's the one thing where we can revisit the conversation. What if the Nuggets do the same thing to the Lakers, Perk? And I'm taking the Lakers, and I'm a Lakers fan, truth be told. Of course, when you make a prediction like I did against Kawhi and you're in the national media, you kind of start to root for your prediction. I have to be honest about that, but I am a Lakers fan. Like, I'm happy when the Clippers do bad and I can make fun of Clippers fans. I want the Lakers to succeed, and I think they'll beat the Nuggets. But, Perk, one thing about this Nuggets team, doesn't matter how much they're down, how many games, what the score is at halftime, these dudes are never say die. And it starts with their head coach. Malone has been a dude who has worked his way up from a high school assistant coach to this level. Part of it is Jokic is really at this moment, unless you consider AD a 5, the best 5 in the game and just controlling the game like unbelievably, especially in this era for a big to be doing that. Jamal Murray is having just an amazing offensive playoffs, and they've come up with Michael Porter also. Like, what if they do this to the Lakers?
But Max, they're not. You know why? Because the Lakers have the most championship experience in the league. By the way, they have the best duo since Kobe and Shaq. They haven't seen a duo like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. By the way, they haven't seen a playoff Rondo who has been in battles and who's battle tested. They haven't seen a Danny Green who is finally finding his stride. The Lakers are peaking right now at the right time. Their championship pedigree is kicking
here's the
in
one thing
right
I'll say.
Now at the right time. Huh?
Here's the one thing I'll say. MJ, I know you think LeBron. MJ is the greatest of all time. Because I'm talking about peak value. Of course, LeBron had a better overall career, like a longer overall career where he's at the top. But MJ at his peak, anytime he had a chance, he won the championship in under 7 games. Anytime he had a chance, he won the championship. Like the first time Pippen was an all-star was the first time he played with another all-star. They went 7 games with the defending champ Pistons. They lost because Pippen got a migraine, had scored 2 points in 40 minutes. Anytime Jordan had a chance, he beat the hell out of the league. No, like when the dust settled, it was a joke. No one compared to him. LeBron, I got to say this, since the Dallas series, whenever he's had a realistic chance... Well, in Miami against the Spurs, that's the one time he didn't win it, but like they didn't go out like suckers or anything, right? But but the Dallas series was the only time it was like, damn, LeBron, you should have won that series and you went away. And he was still learning how to be a champion. Since then, with the exception of that Spurs series, and the Spurs were a machine, if LeBron has a chance, he's probably going to win the whole thing. You know, like that's really, I know Rondo is playoff Rondo. That's a real thing. AD is just dominant. That's a real thing. But if you give LeBron a fighting chance, he's not going out in a game 7 like that. Not for the last 10 years. To me, that's what makes him the best in the game, Perk. I know he's a basketball genius and all that stuff, but you give LeBron a squad, look out. Like, the Warriors series were not fair the last couple years. KD on a 73-win team, that's invincible. But any like LeBron, even without Kyrie and Kevin Love, took the Warriors 6 games. When he had KD and Kevin Love, he beat the Warriors 73-win team on the road. You know, I thought that's what Kawhi was. But last night showed if it is him, it's not him right now. If it's going to be him, it's not him right now. It is LeBron.
I can't argue with that. LeBron has a different motive. When LeBron back is against the wall, You look at that epic game 6 when he was when the Celtics had him down. I think it was 3-2, and he went into the Garden and put on a show. You remember that performance?
Yeah.
I think he probably dropped like 45, 10, and 9 or something to that nature, and forced the game 7 back in Miami. Anytime LeBron James back is against the wall, game 6, game 7, elimination games. He steps up. I remember being on the team with Braun when we played the Indiana Pacers, a feisty Pacers team. They took us to the brink. Game 7, he stepped up and delivered. We went to the Eastern Conference Finals that same year, a young Boston Celtics team. What did they do? He stepped up in a crucial Game 7 on the road and delivered.
And
delivered
because,
in great fashion.
And that's the thing.
That's the separation between the two.
Right, and his regular seasons are as good as anyone's just about. He's less reliant on having to do that to prove he's the best than a guy like Kawhi is, who during the regular season takes it a little bit easier than in the playoffs. And so for Kawhi, it's especially important to get it done when it matters most. You know where LeBron and KD's legacies are going to be, but they never really believed it about Kawhi. I did because I saw it under pressure. And for that reason, he cannot go out like that in a Game 7. But it happened. I'm shocked, but it happened. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Big Perk, thanks for coming on. The Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V Power Nitro Premium Gasoline. By the way, when is Perk going to get Grandma on? Granny's supposed to come on. Perk just mad because Granny's a fan of mine. He's afraid she's going to side with me over him. Come on, blood is thicker than mud, Perk. She still loves you. Big news coming out of the Big Ten, but did they make the right decision? The wait is finally over. Football season is here, which means Hulu has live sports. You can watch your favorite players like Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley on Hulu Plus Live TV. Get access to over 65 live channels, plus the largest streaming TV library, including exclusive originals, and the hottest shows and movies. Start your free trial today so you don't miss a moment of the action. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com. Did the Big Ten get it right? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Big Ten plans on playing football, right before the moment where they wouldn't be eligible for a playoff. Paul Feinbaum was on First Take today talking about how it was curious that they made the decision to call off their season in the middle of early August, August 11th, I think. Why not wait a little bit and see how it goes? I get that. Let's not forget how quickly things are changing. Two things to keep in mind. One, how quickly things are changing. Testing a couple months ago even was hard to find. The reason at first it was very difficult to stage an event, and Dana White was the first to do it, and then Top Rank in the bubble in Vegas, and then the NBA and the NHL, was that at first it was hard to get your hands on a test. And you can't just have one test. You need dozens of tests to test people and keep retesting them if you have an ongoing tournament, or even just for one event to test all the principals and their support staff and all that, like for fights, the fighter, the chief second, the refs, the judges, stuff like that. Because we're forgetting now, but remember when, people didn't even realize how, like, everyone was being intubated right away at the time, and they realized, wait, we don't actually need ventilators as much because this is a brand new disease and it wasn't well understood. It's still a lot, very mysterious in many ways, about the lasting effects, et cetera. And so at the time, it's like, wait, in the absence of a vaccination, what we need to do is contact trace. Because you find out, wait, this person has it. They spoke to those two people. Do these have? And then, now everyone who has it, quarantine for 2 weeks, right? Let it run its course, then come out, and that way the disease doesn't spread. That's called flattening or even then crushing the curve. But if you use those tests for sports leagues, even the optics were bad. Wait, people are dying. People need these tests, and you're taking them away to stage sporting events? That was tough. Testing is much more readily accessible nowadays. And Stephen A. brought it up on the air, the antigen test, which really is like almost like a preliminary screening. It tests for proteins, not the virus. But you get the results in a couple minutes, and it's cheap, relatively cheap. So the antigen test is kind of a good first test to give. Oh, you tested positive. Now let's take the PCR test to find out if you're actually positive. Right? So anyway, availability of tests now has changed the circumstances a bit, and the understanding of social distancing and mask wearing and all that stuff. And so on the one hand, it feels like maybe it's worth a shot, right? Now on the other hand, there's always a sense, like, and by the way, this is, you know, this business in many respects is a hot take business. First Take is definitely a hot take show. It's not a radio show. It's a hot take show. Meaning, here's a counterintuitive point that I came up with. I'm just going to state my conclusion. And you're all going to go, like, your heads are going to explode. How can you say that? Then I'm going to give you my reasoning. Right? And you may or may not agree with it, but I'm not afraid to state my conclusion, even if it's unpopular. The reason more people actually aren't better at that is because when everyone's saying one thing, the chances are it's true. At least that's what we believe intuitively, emotionally. That's what, in a way, what peer pressure is about. So, like, right now, it feels like everyone's coping with the virus, and college football will be played, whether or not there's students on campus. Well, what if there's a huge wave and a huge spike up in the virus in the colder months, which, you know, infectious disease experts have said, yeah, there's a good chance that happens. We should anticipate that. How's it going to feel then? Like, we should or we shouldn't be playing college football? Right now, it feels like the Big Ten, you know, yeah, you might as well try. What's the harm in trying? Well, Ed Orgeron, head coach LSU, defending champs, said most of his team has COVID. And so he's hoping that if they have the antibodies, even if the antibodies for COVID aren't great, right? even if you need him, you know, you can get affected again in 3 or 6 months. But that gives you enough time to play the season. He's not wrong. It's an advantage for a team, competitively speaking. But what about the effects on the student athletes themselves, the players? And what about the long-term effects, which are not well understood? I read, you know, I've read about people getting glaucoma after Twitter, and they felt they were a normal kind of COVID case. And afterwards, they have all kinds of different, you know, chronic now, presumably for the rest of their lives, health problems. Not to mention the people who just die from COVID. And that's not even the main issue. The main issue is don't spread COVID. So it's not even actually the health of the student athletes. It's them becoming vectors for the disease and spreading it to others. The most vulnerable, not young, healthy, strong people in great condition, but the elderly, people with underlying conditions. That's really what it's about. That's why this herd immunity plan you hear about being kicked around in the White House, supposedly, is outrageous. Because the presumption is 2 to 3 million people die in order to get herd immunity so we can go back to normal. So part of this, I think, with the Big Ten is, hey, the science, even if it hasn't changed, it's accessible now. And that makes it easier to contact trace and cheaper and more ethically, it's more responsible now because you're not taking it away from people who need it, the tests. And part of it is everyone seems to be going along with this right now. Maybe we feel weird, like we're the only ones not doing it. We'll see how it plays out. I think it's good that they're trying. You might as well try if you can do so responsibly, you believe. But we'll see how this plays out. I'm still highly skeptical, even though I was about baseball, and it looks like because they're going to go into a bubble, they're going to finish their season. I'm highly skeptical college football will be able to complete their season. So Kawhi and the Clippers look awful right now. But what if the Nuggets do the same thing to the Lakers? No Doubt is next. While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. From the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. So instead of waiting to see what happens, you know, like when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. So when it finally does get back to normal, you have a career instead of just a job. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. And take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just how many times you think a week? Twice a week for 4 months. And you have a career? It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. No Doubt. Coming up, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Little liquid swords. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
It helps if you don't mute me, Max. It helps if you don't mute me.
Can you take the mute off?
People can see you in America. They saw you push the button.
I have a question for you.
Please stop disrupting the show. Doc Rivers has blown his third 3-1 series lead. Simple question for you. Doc is overrated.
Nope, and he could easily win another championship. Like, how many championships? Like, he's already got one. So nah, son, is the answer. Yeah, I forget. Right, it's nah, right. Son, or No Doubt. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to change the name of the other segment to Axe Max from Max Me Anything.
Are we doing this now? Okay.
Why not? Let's do a production meeting right now.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right, fine. You teased it. Now America needs to know. The Nuggets will make this a series versus the Lakers.
It'll be a series. I like the Lakers to win, but even when they were down 10, I felt like I was like, no, the Nuggets are going to win this game. They just score so easily. Jokic is like LeBron in the sense when you watch him pass, he's a basketball genius, you know. And Jamal, my whole thing is you need two MVP caliber players, and you have a real chance to win a championship. And during the regular season, no, Jokic is a 4.5, not a 5, and Jamal Murray's a 4, like an all star. But that's it. In these playoffs, you have 2 5s, and Michael Porter's coming up. So yeah, it'll be a series.
No All right, doubt. Good. I like that.
No Doubt.
Hey, let's listen to friend of the show.
Did I say Marcus? No Doubt?
I don't know. Did he, Chris? No.
Chris, you have to say nah, son. Go ahead, Raj.
Let's listen to friend of the show, Marcus Spears, on Tom Brady and the Bucks.
Yeah.
They're figuring things out on the go. Listen, They are fine. Max, I actually walked away from that game saying Tampa is okay. This is not going to be an issue for them going forward. The talent will show up. Leonard Fournette will be used more. Ronald Jones will be used more. They will create more of a euphoric atmosphere for Tom Brady. And listen, Bruce Arians calling him out, that is coaching. That ain't nothing but a coaching tactic. You know what that's saying? Hey, guys, I'm going to call Tom Brady out. So everybody else, when I say something, you better listen and pay attention. Coach has been doing that since the beginning of the time. They going to continue to do that.
All right. You can hear Marcus Spear tomorrow on this show at 2:10 Eastern, 11:10 Pacific. But it's time to reset expectations for the Bucks after a disappointing week one.
Nah, son. Don't do that now. Everyone had all the info coming into this season. And you got to own it. Just like I'm owning the Kawhi thing, right? Kawhi blew it. I'm not blaming it on anybody else. And saying, oh, I owe one person an apology, LeBron. You've been the best all along. I was wrong about Kawhi, right? Being better than you. Same thing here. You came in with the expectations. Don't change them now after the game. And they will be competitive, the Bucks. Of course, by the way, here's the thing that Tom Brady and LeBron have in common, where Tom Brady defied my Cliff prediction by 1 year, and LeBron just proved me wrong about Kawhi as he once did about Steph in 2016. I was like, this is Steph's league. What's changed nowadays is athletes are able to compete deeper into their careers than ever before, right? So, like, rules changes in football and the health benefits of diet and all that stuff has kept Tom Brady better, deeper into his career than anyone ever before. And LeBron James, by now, supposed to not be an MVP player anymore. It's year 17, and yet he still is. So modern medicine and special players have combined to prove a couple of my predictions wrong based on longevity.
All right, real quick, let's sneak this in. The Saints can survive without the great Michael Thomas. Keyshawn's nephew, by the way.
Yeah, you can survive without Michael Thomas. No doubt. No, as I said, no doubt. You didn't even leave me a chance to say no doubt that time, and I would have forgotten. It's true. But no doubt. They can survive. They can't win a Super Bowl without Michael Thomas, but for a couple of weeks, they can survive without him. Emmanuel Sanders is good. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Kawhi choke?